Romans chapter 10, 5 through 9, these are God's words. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. In 931, the apostle had mentioned those Israelites who pursued a law of righteousness, but did not attain to that law of righteousness. And why didn't they attain it? Because, as verse 32 says, they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. So if, by the Spirit's grace, they would have pursued the law of righteousness by faith in God, who offered himself to be their righteousness, to make them righteous, he indeed would have, by grace, through that faith that he had given them, he would have made them righteous in himself. A faith, of course, that would be by faith in Jesus. Because Christ is the one in whom God has made himself our righteousness. And that's where the apostle has just come from, as we begin in verse 5, when he says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. God has always had a law of righteousness that was to be pursued not by works, but by faith. But it's especially when Christ comes that we see the way in which God makes himself our righteousness by faith. Now the apostle answers those who would pursue the law of righteousness, or were pursuing even the law of righteousness as if it were by works, using their own contention from Leviticus 18, verse 5, which if you just lift the middle portion of the verse, you get, the man who does those things shall live by them. And so he says, verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. You know who he quotes in the next few verses? Moses, from Deuteronomy chapter 30, a place in which Moses, by the Spirit, had said, I set before you life and death. And if you keep the commandments of God, it will be life. And if you don't, you will die. And so it's the same exact sort of thing that he was describing in Leviticus 18, verse 5, which, by the way, since we have just been in Leviticus 18, you probably still remember from just a few weeks ago that the point of the chapter as a whole is that it's the Lord who makes the difference. It's the Lord who saved them out of Egypt, and they were not to be like the Egyptians. It is the Lord who saved them to bring them into the land of the Canaanites, and they were not to be like the Canaanites. And that the Lord who had saved them would also make the difference between them and all of these other nations. So that when he said, those who do these things shall live by them, he wasn't saying, if you are good enough to earn life from me by how hard you work. That may have been, indeed was, the way that the unbelieving Israelites, the pursuing it as if it were by works of the law, Israelites read Leviticus 18:5, but they were reading it incorrectly. And surely the apostle could have shown that from Leviticus 18:5, but there's a parallel passage in Deuteronomy 30 where it's still Moses writing about whom they claimed that they were such devout followers of Moses. And in Deuteronomy 30, he gives the same principle. Indeed, in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15, He says, I have set before you life. And verse 16, keep his commandments that you may live. But it's verses 12 through 14, immediately preceding that, that is quoted here. Verse 12, quoted in Romans 10, verse 6. Deuteronomy 30, verse 13, quoted in Romans 10, verse 7. Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, quoted in Romans 10, verse 8. And what he does is he shows how strongly God had emphasized that this was not God offering righteousness by how hard you worked or these feats of work and spiritual strength and righteousness, but God who had not only saved them out of the land of Egypt, but had come near them in his word. Indeed, God who puts his own word in their mouth and puts his own word in their heart. So that if they do obey, it is, of course, entirely by the grace of God. It is not something that is merited by our works, but that is given by the mercy of God who works in us. And so he says, but the righteousness of faith speaks this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? In the original context, he is saying, you know, you didn't have to go to heaven to get my word. I came to you with my word, and I brought it to you. And he says, you didn't have to go across the sea and brave the depths of the sea to get my word. I brought it near you, close to you. And now he takes that, which was already true enough in the original context, and he makes application to the incarnation and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. In other words, your righteousness cannot be by the works of the law, because you cannot contribute to your righteousness any more than you could contribute to Christ's incarnation. So do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or, verse 7, who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. So not only could you not contribute to your righteousness any more than you could to Jesus' incarnation, to bring him down from heaven, you can't contribute to your righteousness any more than you could contribute to Jesus' resurrection, to bring him up from the grave. And so you can see how he takes the original context, which with God prophesying by Moses, how he had come near them by grace, and it was not at all by their works, but by the mercy of God, by the grace of God, by their dependence upon, their faith in the living God, even then in Deuteronomy 30. But how much more we know that now, when it isn't just God bringing his people out of Egypt and addressing them at Sinai, but God himself has come down from heaven as a man, added humanity to himself in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. And God himself has secured their redemption, our redemption, on account of which Christ rose from the dead. And we can't contribute to our being righteous any more than we could contribute to either his incarnation or his resurrection. And so God, who did that in Christ, is also the one who, as he says here in verse 8, brings his word and puts it in our mouth, brings his word and puts it in our heart. He is the one who, by his preaching, by the preaching of the gospel, produces faith so that we confess the truth about Jesus' incarnation and we believe the truth about Jesus' resurrection. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So what do Christians confess with their mouths? That Yahweh has become a man named Jesus. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. What is one thing that every Christian must believe in their hearts? That Jesus Christ has been bodily raised from the dead. that our Redeemer has not only paid for our sins, but on account of our salvation, on account of our justification, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Death could not hold him. And the same God who gives us the faith to believe the incarnation of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, he has given us Christ himself through that faith. And together with Christ, he gives us everything in our salvation. And so, of course, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, who gave you to do that? God. And believe in your heart that God has raised you from the dead. Who gave you to believe that? God. You will be saved. Because God who gave Christ and God who began applying Christ to you and has joined you to Christ isn't going to allow somehow your salvation to be interrupted or stopped or kept from happening. You shall be saved. Not upon a principle of works, but upon a principle of faith, which was the principle in Leviticus 18:5, which was the principle in Deuteronomy 30:11-16, which is the principle in Romans 10:5-9, which is the principle in the whole Bible. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Amen. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for this portion of your word. We look forward to sitting under the preaching of it, the midweek meeting this week. We pray, Lord, that you would help us by your Spirit to resist that works principle, that our flesh would read into your word and instead read your whole word as teaching us salvation by faith. We thank you that you who gave Christ from heaven and who raised him from the dead and who have given us faith to confess and to believe with our hearts, that you will surely complete our salvation. So help us by your Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.